smartphones, anything with a screen qualifies. And I think the other important thing here, Celia, is that we don't have decades of long-term data about the effects on a very young brain of all this screen time, which is now part of our life.
The WHO also said in a statement, what we really are trying to do and need to do is bring back play for children. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McEntee, and you're on the air with Health and Home on the Huntington County Radio Station. My guest today is Kelly Malazzo, and she'll be joining me in a minute. First, I want to tell you a couple things. Every week we talk about something in my past or in my history, or just to give you an idea of what we do. I just had to start my live stream there because I almost forgot to do it. Kelly and I were already talking, and then guess what? We got lost in our conversation there for a minute, but we're here. Let's just talk about boards a little bit because Kelly's on a board, and it seems real apropos. And I've been on boards since, I think, seventh grade when I was on the student council. It was my first board, and I've served on the Board of Education. I've served on the Fire Board. I've served on I'm currently on the board of the Morris Arc, and I served on the board of COSAC, and been on very many committees. And actually, you know, people think being on a board means you're in charge, and it probably means that you have less impact than you do if you're out there in the public sometimes, because you're governed by board rules and governance. And I learned a lot when I was on the Board of Education, because they sent you to board governance school, and you realize that your job is not to really make decisions, but to give direction to an executive director or a leader and let them make the decision. And your job is to evaluate them and also the financial responsibility of making sure the organization is run correctly and funded correctly and that there's no waste or fraud. But the day-to-day decisions should be run by the people that you hire to do it. For instance, when we ran the Board of Education, all our operations had to go through the superintendent of schools. You hire a superintendent of schools to run your buildings and your schools. Your job is to give him direction and oversight, not to make individual decisions, and only make individual decisions when he brings them to you, when he brings you to you with research and everything else. And that's why there's a chain of command. And it works well when it's done that way. When board members think that they can, you know, walk around giving orders to people who are working for the organization, it's wrong. That's not the job of the board member. The board member should be there to support them and to investigate and to understand and to learn. Also, in the sense, I learned the hard way that you can be right as rain, but if you don't get other members to support you, you don't have anything. You need a majority vote on almost every board. And in instance, in a board of ed, you have nine members. If you don't get four of the members to agree with you, everything you do or everything you say is going to die in committee because there's going to be no motion that passes. So understand that you know it's a team effort. It's a game of negotiations, of consensus. It's similar to what Congress should be, but we haven't had that in quite a while in the country. We don't have consensus anymore, and we're not working for a common goal. And that's what, when you're on a board, you have to have a common goal and a common vision, ways to look at it. And often I change my mind. And people used to say to me when I was on the Board of Education, well, Larry, you changed your mind. I said, yeah, because I learned something. A fourth grade teacher in 20 minutes taught me more about education than I knew after, you know, going to school for 16 years. I had a degree in business and a master's degree in technology, and a fourth grade teacher opened my eyes to how difficult it is to teach a class today and how the kids are different than even what I imagined, because it was so different from what I remember in fourth grade, which I don't remember much, but it was a little big difference. And so remember that when you're talking to your board members, your committee members, your people that are helping run your organizations, whether it's your soccer club or anything else, they're doing it to give guidance and to give direction. They're not doing it to run the day-to-day operations. That should be done by the people that they hire or appoint to do that. And so that's my tidbit on boards today. We're going to do a couple of commercials of the weather, and then we're going to come back with Kelly, and we'll go from there. So hang on there.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Okay, I'm back. Hey, the weather. This is the first Friday. I think I'm reporting that there's actually rain on the ground and raining pretty hard out there today. So high is going to be 66 with rain and 47 low. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly cloudy. Chance of rain, but 59 degrees and 44 low. Sunday, some more rain, 60 degrees and 36. Wouldn't you know it? Come the weekend, we get the rain, right? And Monday, partly sunny, 62 degrees, 47 low. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all around 70 degrees with low around 50 with chance of showers all the way through next Saturday. So it looks like it'll be a wet week, people. The beginning of May is going to come in with a lot of water and get ready to cut the grass, because after the rain comes the sun, and then comes the growth, and then comes the starting the lawnmower. So get ready for that. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, I'm back. We're going to try Kelly here for a minute. it's going to fly. Hang on one second, people. We just had a little snafu with a spring-loaded mic, so
testing 1, 2.
Yeah, there you are, Kelly. We can hear you. Kelly Malazzo is the president of the Board of Trustees of Autism New Jersey, formerly known as COSAC. Kelly and I have a connection there. We were about 15 years apart, but I was on the board of COSAC back in 1995 to about 2000, I guess it was. I was on it for like 7 or 8 years. But then it was called COSAC then. It was probably the largest parent organization or information organization in the country for autism. And to be honest with you, when I was on it, it was critical because there was no internet when we first started and there was no way to get information. And it was a parent-to-parent network. And 90% of the information, you can take that right out of the holder and hold it if you want, Kelly.
That might be easier.
Yeah, let that go. That's better. You know, so that we have the connection here. Kelly, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I'd like to hear about your son, Will, and also about Autism New Jersey today.
Sure. Thank you very much for sharing your podcast for autism. April, as you know, and many others might not, April is Autism Awareness Month. So we really appreciate you inviting Autism New Jersey to participate on your podcast and talk a little bit about the organization and raise awareness in April for Autism Awareness Month. I'm Kelly Malazzo. As Larry mentioned, I am the president of the Board of Trustees for Autism New Jersey. First, we should probably just define autism. Maybe not everyone on your, all your listeners may not know. Autism spectrum disorder is a neurological disorder characterized by impairment in social communication and interaction. So often people with autism will have difficulty communicating. They may be partially verbal or nonverbal and have difficulty with social interactions and sometimes repetitive behaviors or obsessions. So my son Will is 21. And he has autism and was diagnosed circa Y2K. So I think I overlapped with you.
Yeah.
COSAC was still COSAC and then became Autism New Jersey, renamed basically, but is still the state's support organization for parents and families of children with autism. And it is the largest advocacy organization in the state, helping to provide information, education and training, support public policy, and awareness throughout the state. So when my son Will was diagnosed, we also, I don't even know if the internet was available then, but we used listserv. I was on a listserv, if you remember what they were. Yeah. So it's before Facebook. Prior to Facebook, we communicated or connected with other parents through listserv. And then Yahoo Groups. Yahoo Groups came and kind of replaced listservs, and this was all prior to being able to interact and connect through Facebook. Yeah. And then we actually went to COSAC support group.
I was going to say, parent support groups were big then, because we used to meet once a month, and we started in Hackettstown, went to Newton, and back to Hackettstown, and once a month we got together with probably a dozen or so parents, and it was more important. It's almost like a sales conference to me today. It's more re-generalizing and more energizing, and makes you feel like you're not alone. I remember Dr. Avram Katcher, and my listeners in Huntington might know it, Dr. Avram. He was here in the medical center, and he's the one that gave me COSAC's phone number, and the first conference was 3 weeks later down in New Brunswick. And I went down there thinking we were going to find some parents, and we walked into a ballroom with like 400 sets of parents, and it still chokes me up to this day, because I thought we were alone. I mean, you know, and you realize that there are, you know, hundreds of families out there struggling with the same thing. And at that point, I didn't know any family with autism. Today, I don't think I know a family without somebody connected to autism.
Absolutely. In fact, New Jersey, as you know, but your listeners may not, has the highest rate of autism in the United States. And 1 in 34 children in New Jersey have autism. So the conference, as you mentioned, the Autism New Jersey conference that you attended with a few hundred parents is now thousands, and is held in Atlantic City in October. So that's, again, another resource that is provided by Autism New Jersey. There's the day-to-day helpline where parents can call for resources. And that was one of the first calls that I made. So when my son Will was diagnosed at age 3, I, you know, Googled and found COSAC, and I made that first phone call and got a packet.
Right.
I got the packet in the mail. You know, 4-inch-high packet of literature. But that was the first connection to start to educate myself, to understand what I needed to do as a parent, and to connect into the resources that
and understand people
provides.
That it's there's no clear-cut answer on how to deal with autism. There's no, it's not a blood test where you have a medical procedure to follow to say, okay, this is what you do, and then this is what you do next, and everything else. It's, a lot of it is up to the parents and the professionals that you deal with, and so it's very difficult. At COSAC, we struggle a lot of times because our job was to provide accurate information and not judge it. I mean, I'll give you early on, my son was on a very gluten-free diet and casein, and a lot of people said, you're wasting your time. You don't know what you're talking about. That's ridiculous. I mean, it's just like vaccinations today. Some people say, you're anti-vax. No, but we provide information and a lot of information from a lot of credible sources. And I think that's what when I was on the board, that what I kept saying to the board was, our job is to produce evidence in incredible information, not to determine what's right and wrong, because I'm not smart enough to determine that.
Right.
And I've attended many medical conferences, like Margaret Bowman spoke, and she was one of the foremost person in brain study, and she explained how we know more about the dark side of the moon than we do the human brain.
That is so true. And Autism New Jersey is very committed to providing evidence-based, researched treatments and protocols to parents, and providing a lot of the literature to providing education and training to both parents and professionals.
Right.
So it's really a great group of professionals that can help to support every family that gets diagnosed.
And it's important to realize that doesn't mean they're always right, because, I mean, theories come and go.
Yes.
You know, Dr. Greenspan there for, what was it, Greenspan or Greenfield?
Greenspan.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he was very controversial, but you know what? I like some of the things he said, and I like the fact that he stirred up the pot.
Floor time.
Right. It got exposure.
D-I-R. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, in some of the things I agreed with, some of the things I didn't. Some things were medically proven. Some things weren't over time.
Right.
But the idea that we're having that conversation is more important to me. And I think people got to understand that it's okay to be wrong because we don't know enough about it.
That is so true. And actually, it's very important to realize the full spectrum of individuality. That's another component of autism, that is a spectrum disorder. And in fact, all of the, quote, types of autism are now included as a diagnosis of autistic spectrum disorder,
ASD.
You used to hear Asperger's. You will still hear Asperger's or low-functioning or high-functioning autism. Now, with the most recent DSM, autism is diagnosed as autistic spectrum disorder, ASD, and it is a broad spectrum. So you'll have some children that are profoundly affected and some that are very mildly affected, as Temple Grandin likes to put it, a little bit of autism. So there's a full spectrum, and each individual is affected a little bit differently, which makes it very challenging. And you and I actually
we're on two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
I mean, your son goes to college.
Representative.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Will goes to college and he speaks. I mean, Matthew's never said a word.
That's amazing.
Matthew has no trouble communicating now.
That's right.
He just doesn't speak.
You learn as an autism parent that words are highly overrated.
Well, it's funny. I'm taking a sales course right now.
Communication is not words.
Well, I'm taking a sales course right now, and they say 90% of communication is not verbal.
Right.
And I learned this the hard way. Matthew went into a group home, and a year later, we're meeting with the staff who has changed over, and we're thinking they don't know Matthew, and they're telling us about Matthew, and they know just as about. And in a year's time, Matthew has taught them about Matthew without speaking a word.
Isn't that amazing?
So, hey, we're going to hit a couple commercials. It's the first break, and then we're going to continue with the meat of the order here. So, stay with us, and we're going to talk more autism with Kelly. So, hang on one second.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113. Or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back, and Kelly and I are talking about family things here, and we're laughing because even though our sons, I think, are on different spectrums or different ends of the spectrums, a lot of life is the same.
Absolutely.
Guardianship, and, you know, and people don't understand. Everything's not like Rain Man. Unfortunately, I wish my son was Rain Man because I'd be in Atlantic City instead of on the radio. But, you know, Rain Man did it kind of a disservice and a service at the same time. And I think it opened the eyes of it. But you mentioned the numbers of 1 in 34, and I had heard 1 in 28. It's even at 1 in 30 or 1 in 40. People, imagine, a kid gets abducted today in Kansas City, and it makes national news. Our children are being diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder at a rate of 1 in 34. Doesn't that concern anybody? Why aren't we spending money, or why aren't we screaming that these kids are being abducted by this terrible condition, and we don't know why? And I say that knowing that my son's 27, and the prognosis is probably not going to cure him. That's a realization. I'm hopeful. Don't get me wrong. But you know, we should be talking to our legislators saying stop the fighting over Bridgegate. Stop the fighting. Why we spend $12 million on Bridgegate, and then we could have spent $12 million on autism research and maybe found a cure or find a reason or something.
That is an excellent point, and that's why it is so important to have the organization like Autism New Jersey, because they are fighting for funding and they do a lot of that advocacy in Trenton and make sure that the legislators know that there's a huge issue, there's huge funding issues, there's system issues, process breakdowns. So Autism New Jersey is really on the front line of trying to get more funding and more support for parents. Right. So I would tell any family, if you are recently diagnosed, make sure to call the helpline, which is 1-800-4-AUTISM. They get literally nearly 2,000 calls every year, and they can try to help connect with resources and continue to fight for the families, for those resources and the dollars for both research and for programs.
Yeah, it's a triple spearheaded thing because
we
need research for future generations.
Right.
We need treatment for today's kids, and we need education. I mean, schools struggle with this.
Yes.
You know, if you've seen a classroom with a child with autism in it, you know, everybody thinks mainstreaming means the child's included. It doesn't mean that. I mean, I sat in the Board of Ed and I interviewed special service directors and even superintendents and asked them that question, what does inclusion mean? And they'd say, well, we would include them in the program. And that's not inclusion. Inclusion means the child is incorporated into the education program and the learning curve stays the same or increases, doesn't decrease. No parent of a child with autism wants them in a classroom where they're going to hurt the classroom.
Right.
People think, oh, you want your kid in my class. No, I don't want my kid in your class unless they can participate actively and become and learn with the proper supports and doesn't hurt the rest of the class. But today's generation, tell you the truth, the kids are much more open to this, open to the individuals. They realize the shortcomings of other people, whereas I didn't. In fourth grade, you know, if you weren't in the normal class, you were that bad word. That we don't like to use. I mean, you know, in a sense.
You bring up a really good point. When a child is diagnosed, so when Will was diagnosed, he was 3.5. If they're under age 3, you would be referred to early intervention, okay?
Okay.
So if you go to the doctor and and you're referred to a specialist to make the diagnosis of autism, under age 3 is early. The state provides early intervention therapies and services to help your child to start to make up those, bridge the gaps.
Right.
Wherever
those early years are
identified.
Critical.
Absolutely.
I mean, everybody in the autism industry recognizes the age from diagnosis to 5 is critical for development because that's when the brain
better.
Is making the connections. And hopefully you get some positive results out. And you also get some behaviors under control.
Absolutely.
And, you know, at 3, I was told early on when Matthew was jumping on couches and eating couches because he'd bite the arms. Oh, it's cute when he's 3. But Dr. Holmes from Eden said to me, when he's 15 and he does it to your neighbor's house, it won't be so cute, Larry.
Yes.
So you want to get those behaviors under control early on when the child is programming them.
Right. And over age three, it's the responsibility of the school district. So you mentioned IEP. Over age three, you're going to be referred to your local school district, and your child is entitled to a free, appropriate public education in the least restrictive environment. That might include an inclusive classroom setting, or that may the least restrictive may be actually a pull-out special classroom, or it may be a special school.
Sure.
It will all be determined by the evaluations and the gaps that your child has and the program to be put in place to educate them appropriately. So the school district, you'll be referred to your school district over age three.
To your child study team.
To the child study team to work on that.
But understand, don't pass that responsibility on to them.
Yes,
they're there to help, and most of them, and I'll say this without reservation, most of them are there to help.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that get in the way, and budgets get in the way, money gets in the way. Even though they can tell you that money isn't part of the discussion, it is part of the discussion. You have to be the advocate for your child. You have to know what their needs are. You talked about the placement. It should be driven by the child's needs, not by your wants,
right.
Not by the school's wants, not by what program they have open.
Absolutely.
You need to identify what the child needs. The child needs speech. They need physical therapy. Needs OT. Needs PT.
Right.
It needs hand over hand. You know, it needs 24-hour eyes on. My son was 3 years old. You couldn't take your eyes off him.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be under supervision at all times. It's just the way it was. So they drive it, riding in a van, something as innocuous as driving in a van might need an aid because the child will unbuckle a seatbelt and walk out the door.
Right.
So you have to be aware of that. You have to be there. And that's where COSAC come in, because I tell you what, COSAC connected me to professionals. They connected me to other parents, who some of these parents are still to this day our best friends.
Yes.
And I learn more from parents like yourself, Kelly, than I do from any book.
Yes.
Or any program. And the one thing COSAC does is put you together. So go on. I mean, explain a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about Will. I mean, what's he doing and how's he doing? I mean,
Will was educated in our local school district. We're in Stuartsville. So it's Greenwich Township, New Jersey, in Warren County. And he attended Phillipsburg High School at his own choice. We were looking at some great out-of-district placements when Will was in middle school. We looked at New Road School, Montgomery Academy, Midland. We made the rounds. And at the end of the day, Will said, I'm going to Phillipsburg High School, just like his sisters. That was the school that he knew. We attended football games there. Football is very big at Phillipsburg.
Oh, yeah. That hasn't changed in 30 years.
He loved it. He loved the stadium, the excitement, the people. And we toured Phillipsburg. And I knew as he walked out the front door, my heart sank. I had a pit in my stomach. And I said, he's going to go to Phillipsburg High School, and I have to support him in that decision because it was one of the first times that he advocated for himself. He said what he wanted to do, and every day for 4 years, I waited for the phone call, which I knew was coming from day one. I didn't sleep, and I knew I was going to get that call. This is not appropriate, Mrs. Malazzo.
We can't handle them.
And they did a fabulous job.
Wow.
They worked. I worked really hard. Will worked really hard. His special education teachers worked really hard, and he did a great job. And every year he matured and he learned. And then he said, "I want to go to college." And the transition specialist said, let Will try a class at Warren County Community College in his senior year. They have senior option, which I never thought would be applicable to my child with special education. And he tried a basic math class, and he did okay. So now every day when he attends a class at Warren County Community College. You know, my stomach is in knots.
Still waiting for the phone call.
I can't breathe, you know, because now, and you do have IDEA 504 accommodations at the college level. You no longer have an IEP. So as a child with a developmental disability, you are entitled to an education in the least restrictive environment to age 21. And after age 21, you either have an adult program, or if you do further your education, you're covered by the Individual with Disabilities Education Act. So there are accommodations, but you no longer have an IEP.
You no longer have protection from everything. They don't have
right.
to provide
you have no entitlements right. after age 21. Right. So right now he takes classes part-time at Warren County Community College. He works 5 to 6 hours a week doing some data entry on a part-time basis, and he would really kill me if I didn't say he plays ice hockey for over a decade now on a special needs ice hockey team, the New Jersey Daredevils, down in West Orange, New Jersey.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
You don't know how good it feels to hear you talk about a public education that worked.
Yes.
Because too often, and you know, and it's sad because I was on the Board of Ed, and more times than not, I saw unbelievable programs. And don't get me wrong, we had our share of difficulties.
Yes.
But more than not, we had successes, and it's nice to hear that. And I'm sure Phillipsburg would be nice to hear that kind of glowing request because, you don't often hear that.
Right.
Because the people who are getting it don't brag about it. Or getting the right services and the right, but the people right. who are not being served are screaming out of their head, which they should be,
right?
Because we shouldn't leave any kid behind. As you know.
I will say, it's not easy, and my passion is with the teachers, because if you have that, it's almost like I think of if you remember the Helen Keller moment
yeah.
where she got it. The sign language in her hand.
Right.
It's like when you get that teacher that can help your child unlock their communication or get those behaviors under control, like learn how to learn, it's huge. So it's all about the teacher, the right teacher, having the training to know how to teach the students with autism. That's a huge piece. So that kind of became a passion of mine.
And they have to be given the support from the
yes.
from the administration, because
yes.
Too often they're all about the numbers. You know, you got 14 kids in the class.
Right.
They're all about the testing. They're all about this. They're all about that. They have to be willing to support them and give them the supports needed, whether it's an extra aide in the room or
yes.
or more time and stuff like that.
Specialized training, specialized right. programs.
How were the students with Will? I mean, did he have friends, and did he get support from the student body? I mean, I'm trying to pry because I'm interested
yeah.
in how it always amazes me when I see those programs. You know, see the buddy programs, and you're like,
right.
your heart just sinks. I mean,
right. When we toured different schools for Will for high school, we toured Warren Hills in Washington, New Jersey, and they have a Best Buddies program. And we were very impressed by Best Buddies, so we spoke with Phillipsburg and we said, we want to have a Best Buddies program at Phillipsburg High School that Will could participate in along with other students with special needs. So they did do that. It was not an official Best Buddies chapter, but we called it Liner Buddies for the Phillipsburg Liners. And that helped give a little bit of social support. They also
sure.
did social skills training and helped, you know, some of the students to learn about autism and learn about children with special needs, and it helped Will to have support to interact. I would say many of the students were very friendly. He didn't have a lot of, you know, best friends.
Sure.
But Will loves to be by himself. And
right.
so he tends to be more introverted and less social by nature. That's that's him. So when he's done at school, school was like immersion. He had social immersion all day long. And so when he came home, he needed to chill and needed to have that time to himself. So it was kind of, it worked out really well. In his senior year, several of the buddies that Will had become very good friends with insisted that he was going to prom. And they are still friends to this day. He calls them his three amigos, Kelsey, Casey, and Haley. And they said they wouldn't take no for an answer. You are coming with us to prom. So I still have the picture that, you know, makes me cry to this day with six couples and Will. So there's three couples, you know, the boys standing behind the girls, and three couples on one side, three couples on the other, and Will smack in the middle. And they all got into their stretch limo, and they took Will to prom. My husband and I sat, you know, with a pit in our stomach.
Waiting for the phone call.
Waiting for the phone call, which he did. He texted us when he was ready to go.
Okay.
He stayed for probably about 2 hours. And then he's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm out of here. Let's go to Five Guys. And, you know, we died 1,000 deaths waiting. I, of course, the whole entire time I envisioned Carrie.
Yeah.
I sat, you know, thinking, are they playing a prank on
him?
Yeah,
they're going to.
They were the most wonderful group of girls. There was three, four, five girls that, like, kind of took to Will.
Sure.
Really helped him in terms of the social interaction.
That, you know, that's interesting because, you know, I don't have that experience with Matt.
Right.
Matt is a five-year-old. He's 27 years old, but he's, like, dealing with a five-year-old in a sense that I just don't know what he doesn't realize. You know, it's funny because on 9/11, my wife would say that, you know, she's watching the TV and Matt come home and Matt looked at her, looked for his snack and turned his TV on to the Disney Channel. And she said he's the luckiest guy around because he didn't have to deal with all the pressure and the depression in the world. But I always wonder, you know, it bugs me that I can't know what's going on in his head or what he understands and what he doesn't.
Right.
I mean, does he know what he has? I know one of the downsides of the higher function in autism is that they can understand what they have.
Right.
They can read about it. And,
right.
And they can, you know, read that they have autism syndrome and, you know.
Yes.
And it can be depreciation. And I guess the suicide rate is high among some of them at that age because they realize what they have and that they're never going to grow out of it.
Right. I'm almost luckier that Will tends to be more antisocial. Like, he's
comfortable that way.
And he's not really high-functioning autism. I call him will-functioning. Where there's a will, there's a way. Because that's him. What he wants to do, he will do. And for a long time, what he didn't want to do, he would not do. And some teachers had difficulty because it was hard. He was internally motivated.
Sure.
You know, sticker chart wasn't going to do it. And that made life very challenging,
sure,
both from a teaching perspective, behavior management, etc. But it did insulate him somewhat from the
everyday pain of seeing him miss out.
In some ways, I have felt that he has so much less social pressure because he truly does not participate.
He doesn't need
socially.
The interaction. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No.
Then see, that's Matt too. Matt's happy by himself.
Absolutely.
And he'll spend
and
hours.
They so much better.
Well, that's what my wife would say. He doesn't
in
have the
so
pressure. He doesn't have the pressure of having the girlfriend or this or that. But at the same
right.
time, I wonder sometimes. Like when we put him in the group home, we were afraid that he wasn't going to. You know, we're leaving him or banning him. And every time, my wife won't drop him off still to this day because every time we drop him off, it's like we're leaving him there.
I can completely.
But, you know, when he gets out of the car and runs into the house, you know he doesn't mind being there.
Yes.
If he fought us getting out of the car, then it would be a
That's
lot harder.
Right. Like actions speak louder than words.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he has no problem instances. Telling you what he doesn't want. So if he didn't want to go back to the house, he wouldn't get out of my car. He'd, like, fight me, you know, getting him out of the car.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. He actually throws me out of his house and shuts the front door on me sometimes. So.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm at my house. Leave me alone. I'm in my apartment. Leave me alone. You know, So it's interesting. But, you know, we spoke about the autism in the spectrum, and that's what's hard for a lot of people to understand is it is such a various. And that is part of the bigger diagnosis. Don't get me wrong. That some of it is because it's grown in what the diagnosis is, that, you know, that odd person that years ago wasn't diagnosed with autism is truly autistic now or has autism.
Right.
Because the correct way, by the way, and I'm not politically correct by any stretch of imagination, but you don't call autistic kids. I mean, you don't say my autistic son. I say my son with autism.
Right.
Because he's my son first. I mean, yeah. If my son was sick with leukemia, I don't say my leukemic son. I say my son with leukemia, you know. I mean,
right.
It's my son first. And in the proper way, so people know who are not in the business, is don't refer to the individual first. It helps remind you that they're people.
Right.
They're not autistic people. They're Matthew, my son, who happens to have autism. My other son, Michael, is an actor. I don't say my actor son. I say my son who's an actor, you know. So just it's a little thing. And some people it's a big thing. But to me it's not. I don't really care. But I do try to remember the individual first. And it's important out there. And realize that there are people like Will who will understand what you're saying to him.
Right.
And there are people like my son who, you know, if he's acting up, he's not going to understand that you expect him to behave. It's just not that way. I mean, I remember I was in the emergency room when he had cut his head and we were getting stitches and a nurse snapped at him because he was crying and he goes, "Oh, you're too big. Will you grow up?" And another nurse looked at her and said, "This young man has autism, so you need to leave now." So understand that there are reasons why people are the way they are most times.
Right.
And it's not always just bad behavior. It's sometimes it's because he didn't understand what was going on.
Absolutely. And or frustrated and or unable to communicate.
Yeah, he's fear.
Hurt, fear.
Can you imagine putting yourself in a place where you don't know what they're doing to you? They got a needle out, and you never had a cut on your head. You don't understand what a cut on your head is, and they're going to stitch you up.
Right.
It's very scary, you know. We happen to be given, you'll like this, we're given, the ARC is giving our professional of the year to Matt's dentist and his wife.
That's wonderful.
His dentist has come to his group home and taught him how to brush teeth.
Wow.
He's taken care of Matt since he was 2 years old. And Matt still walks in there now, and it's
What's his name? Give
Dr. Manella. Dr. Manella in Randolph Pediatric Dentist on Route 10.
That's amazing.
He has three children. His wife was an orthopedic, and they had a practice together. And it was one of the places where you go. It's a doctor's office. It's not a special doctor's office, but he treated everybody. And I nominated him, and I told people this story. Matthew had to get a filling and some work done in Morristown, and they had to knock him out because you can't do work in Matthew's mouth when he was younger.
Right.
Because he'd bite through the clip or the pick or the drill. So knocking him out was a big thing, and it was like it was like a pit stop at the Indy, though. We're going to knock him out. We're going to clean his teeth. We're going to scrape his teeth. We're going to clean his teeth. We're going to pull blood from him. We're going to get blood panels because we can't get blood panels from him otherwise. You know, they're going to test his – it was like lifting the hood of an Indy car.
Yeah.
But we were in the operating room, and Matthew was scared. And the nurses were kicking me out, and the doctor, Manella, turned to the nurses and said, "No, Matthew's dad's going to stay here because he's going to be the last face he sees and the first face he sees when he wakes up."
That's wonderful.
And I don't think people understand what that meant to me.
Yeah.
It meant that Dr. Manella understood that my son didn't understand what was going on, and the only thing he understood was my face.
That's right.
And my son went out in 3 seconds with the gas, and he was asleep, and then they kicked me out.
Yeah.
And then they brought me back in, and he woke up, and he was, you know.
And you were his touchstone.
At least it was the only thing he knew.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he knows I'm dad, but he knows who I am. He knows I'm the man that feeds him.
Yes, he
but
knows.
That's all he knows. He knows dad because he touches.
Oh,
yeah. He does his sign language a little bit.
Right.
But it was interesting though. But that, you're talking about professionals.
Yes.
So that's interesting. Let's before we run out of time, because Kelly and I could literally talk for 8 hours here, people.
Oh, that's right.
And I hope we're not boring you to death. But I do want you to understand that the families out there who suffer with autism in New Jersey, you got to know one.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, if you open your phone book and look the 10 names, I guarantee you one of them are affected by it, or some family member or a cousin is affected by it. Understand what they're going through and put out that hand. You started a nonprofit.
Yes.
And I want to hear about that.
Well, as I mentioned before, my passion is with those teachers and professionals that really are dedicated to students with special needs. And I saw how they struggle to get the training that they need, to get the specialized programs. It's amazing what a teacher can do at a dollar store, okay? And they're often spending their own money to, you know, just for classroom aids, for, you know, those teachable moments. So we founded Greenwich Autism Alliance, And unfortunately, we named it Greenwich Autism Alliance for Greenwich Township. And, you know, probably most people think it's in Connecticut, right? Right. They think it's Greenwich. It's not Greenwich. It's Greenwich.
Kelly, I'm going to stop you for a minute because I did run late. We're going to run a couple commercials.
Good.
But we're going to finish up on this because I want to hear more about it.
Thank
I really
you.
Do. So hang on one second.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company, trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back. Hey, Kelly, let's talk about more about that nonprofit because I really want people to hear about this because you're talking about being an ex-school board member.
Yes.
One of the reasons I believe in school board members, term limits, I did 3 terms, get off. Now I'm an advocate for public school. So, you know, I think more people that get involved and see behind the curtain, they don't judge just by what they see in their own kids' grades. They see what happens in a public school and how diverse and how challenging it is. So,
and
you talk about funding, and go ahead.
Absolutely. I believe that advocacy needs to happen at all levels, and there's a place for Autism Speaks at the national level, Autism New Jersey at the state level, and we try to provide support at the local level. So we're in Warren County, New Jersey. We named it Greenwich Autism Alliance because we were in Greenwich Township, and I didn't have a lot of creativity, and we didn't pay any marketing people to brand us, so that's how it is. And the passion comes from trying to support Autism New Jersey to advocate for us at the state level and then support our teachers and our schools locally within the Warren County area. So Greenwich Autism Alliance has been, we're about 12 years in now. We have an annual golf outing fundraiser, and then we kind of split the proceeds between Autism New Jersey at the state level and the rest of the funding locally with what I like to call micro grants for classrooms, for training, for parents. We don't have a huge budget. You know, it's roughly $100,000 a year.
Well, that's bigger than a lot of them. I mean, come on. There's some PTAs I know that function a lot bigger, smaller
right.
than that.
We split with Autism New Jersey and then provide the rest locally. And I stole Dan Marino's slogan, money raised here stays here. He's, local in the Florida area a son with autism. And so I read about the Marino Foundation and I heard that slogan. I'm like, I love it. We're going to steal it. And that's our philosophy, is that the money that we raise, we try to keep in the Phillipsburg and Warren County / Hunterdon County area. We have two support groups. So we have a support group for parents that meets every month in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. And anybody can come from anywhere. It's open to anyone and everyone. And we also have an adult parents of adults with autism support group that we just started in January called PALS, Parents of Adults with Autism.
Well, just so you know, people, that's important, because one of the things that happened, my wife and I went to the support groups for a long time, and after you're there a year or two, everything gets repeated because there's new parents coming in on a daily basis. It doesn't stop, unfortunately. You know, it'd be nice if it stopped and then we only had to deal with the same parents. But your needs change. Your education changes. So you can't go every week and listen to new parents because, the old parents can only say it so long. And
right.
You need to be with a group that's faced with the same conditions. So that's critical, I think.
Yes.
Eden Institute, where Matthew went to school for 20 years, had that. They had early parent support group.
Yep. Middle,
and it was critical to be able to graduate with your child as they aged.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, like you mentioned, the parents of the children that my son went through grade school together, there's, five or six of us. We're like, for life.
Oh, yeah.
That's my tribe. Those are my ladies. Like, we will forever, support each other. That's the real support group, so to speak. And I want that for other parents. So I think it's so important that parents connect with each other locally and support each other. And, because you're in it together and you're in it
Well,
for
with
life.
That, Kelly, we talked about your nonprofit. We talked
yes.
about a couple of things, but I want you to give people a contact. So, because
yes.
if you got questions out there, pick up the phone and don't wait for somebody to give it to you guys. The principal at our high school is a great principal because he says, we have these great programs, we have these great things, but you got to go get them. Nobody's going to spoon feed you.
True.
So if you Dr. Abram Ketcher said to us, Larry, nobody's going to tell you what to do with your son. Get off your ass and figure it out.
Right.
Do you have a number or a contact
Absolutely.
That people had questions about, especially about your nonprofit?
Absolutely. A couple of resources that I wanted to make sure people know. Locally, Warren County, Hunterdon County, Greenwich Autism Alliance. So it's just all spelled out. Greenwich Autism Alliance @outlook.com. That's our email address. And then, of course, we're on Facebook and we have the website, GreenwichAutismAlliance.com, all spelled out. There is also the two support groups I mentioned would be on the Greenwich Autism Alliance Facebook page. But also in Northwest New Jersey, we have a Facebook group, Special Parents Information Network and events. So I call that SPIN for short. And that is for parents of special needs children in Northwest New Jersey.
Now that's a closed group you have to ask for.
That is a closed group. You have to request to join so that we can share our trials and tribulations and support each other virtually if you can't get to the support group meetings. But that's where we post the meetings and we post a lot of what goes on in Hunterdon and Warren counties. We'll post that onto our Special Parent Information Network Facebook page. The other thing I wanted to mention was last night, New Jersey 101.5 had a town hall, Autism Town Hall, NJ 101.5. You can just Google it and listen. My son, Will, was in the last 10 minutes or so. And they had some great general information and resource and referral intel on that autism town hall for the state of New Jersey on NJ 101.5. So I encourage everybody to pull that up, and you can look at it on YouTube or on their Facebook page for NJ 101.5. And again, don't forget Autism New Jersey, the helpline, 1-800-4-AUTISM. Takes thousands of calls every year to give out general information.
Even if you're panicked and you don't know what to do, you can call them and they'll give you direction.
Absolutely.
If they can't help you, they will definitely point you in the right direction. Dr. Susan Van Cannon, the director of the program there, actually went to grade school in my township, and my wife taught her modern dance in high school. So it's funny that it goes full circle. You talk about the connections. And I caution you out there. If you think that autism doesn't affect you, it probably will, just because of the sheer numbers. Hopefully it's not somebody dear and close to you, and I don't wish it on anybody. Don't get me wrong. But we can't wait till it gets to 1 in 20 or 1 in 15. I mean, what are we waiting for? We got to find out what's causing it, guys, and we got to find out what we can do about it. And the answer is going to, it was Margaret Bauman, the brains of it, but Marie Bristol down at NIH said it's not going to be a silver bullet. Unfortunately, our kids are autistic for many different reasons. There's not going to be a single cause of autism. Unfortunately, they're not going to say, oh, my God, we found the cell that's causing it, or we found the chemical that's causing it, or the vaccine. We're not going to find that. We're going to find the multiple reasons. That's why they're so different. And the only reason they're linked together is that social ineptness or unawareness of what's going on around them.
Right.
And a lot of times they're coupled with mental retardation or other developmental disabilities. So it's a very difficult process. But we got to find out, guys. It's important. So, I know we're on a soapbox, and this is Autism or something. My show is Health and Home Team. And started out with somebody doing health, but I did feel compelled that April would be about autism because of my son, and in honor of Matthew, who was the light of my life, who is a reason for me to get up in the morning, him and my wife, because my wife will kick me out of bed. But Matthew was the reason that I want to live forever. We testified in front of Senator Greenwald, and my wife's last comment to him was, he asked if he could do anything, and she said, I need to live one more day than my son.
Right.
So that's what you think what families are living with, is they don't want to leave these kids alone, because they're going to live a normal mortality rate, unfortunately. I mean, not fortunately, they have great health, and they live a long time, but that also means that they may be alone, and somebody else is going to be taking care of them, and it's very difficult as a parent to accept that, because my goal in life is for to raise your children to be independent, successful contributors to society. When you realize one is going to be a dependent of somebody somewhere, somehow, even if it's just to make sure that he gets enough to eat and he's dressed warm and everything else, it's a lousy place to be.
Right.
But at the same time, I've met some of the best people in life. For example, Kelly here. Kelly has just become one of my best friends, and I'm sure we'll be friends forever. And she's carrying the torch, because, I mean, I was a COSAC when went through some rough stages and we were growing like crazy. I mean, the bubble happened, and you took the torch further, and you're president now.
You were on the board now, then, and I'm on the board now.
Yeah.
And hopefully,
I wrote the first fundraiser letter. My son was on the first fundraiser letter, and your son was on the 25th one, I think, right? Or
you
something.
Were the first family fund letter.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And Matthew was
that's phenomenal.
It was the year that he was on Channel 12. We were on Channel, they actually came to the house and filmed 3 days for a 12-minute segment on Channel 12. And you see Matthew with a speech teacher who we still with today.
You were trailblazers, because that is back in the day. If I typed autistic into an email, it auto-corrected to artistic. Like, autism didn't exist. It wasn't Word. It didn't, you couldn't Google it. You were trailblazers.
Well, hey, my definition of autism when Matthew was diagnosed was a hockey helmet, in a corner. And it surely changed. Hey, we're running long, and we're going to have some the next radio show coming in. Kelly, we're going to have you back, and if it's not next year, but we'll have you back before then, but we'll talk. I want to thank everybody for the patience for listening to us and talk about autism. If you see somebody out there, don't be afraid to offer the help. Don't be afraid. Sometimes it's just a smile. When you see somebody struggling with a young child, and maybe it's autism, maybe it's behavior, but even a simple smile or a nod or a hand makes the difference in the world to that person that day. Remember, people won't remember what you say, but they'll remember how you made them feel. So with that, we're going to call it a day. We're going to start. And then, by the way, I have a great interior decorator coming on. It's either next week or the week after, but I'm going to have an interior decorator on, because I'm going to give you tips about how to decorate your house and how to be able to afford it without having to spend a mint. And it's not all going to be HGTV stuff. It's going to be practical stuff to do in your house to make it look better and help you get along. So have a great weekend, everybody, and thank you again. Larry McAtee on the Hunterdon County Chamber, and Health and Home is out. Thanks.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump addresses the NRA at the national meeting in Indianapolis.
And we believe in the right to self-defense and the right to protect your family, your community, and your loved ones. We believe in the wisdom of our founders, and we believe in freedom and liberty and the right to keep and bear arms.
Former Vice President and 2020 presidential candidate Joe Biden appeared on The View in his first interview since officially announcing he's running for the White House.